My name's Richard Sparks. I'm the author of New Rock, New Roll, R-O-L-E, a fantasy adventure story published by the science fiction and fantasy house Kazik, SFNF. And the second book in the series comes out in November, New Rock, New Realm. They're being just the best fun to write, and I hope you enjoy them.
This is the first episode of a series with Richard Sparks, author of New Rock, New Roll.
Richard Sparks is an English-born TV comedy writer, lyricist, librettist, author, and director, now living in Los Angeles. His writing credentials span the gamut of the entertainment world, from film, TV, and books to lyrics for operas. He has experienced tremendous success in the entertainment business, having worked with such luminaries such as Jack Black, Rowan Atkinson, and John Cleese of Monty Python and Fawlty Towers fame. In the film The Secret of Nim 2, Eric Idle recorded a song of Richard's lyrics, music by Lee Holdridge. Eric was the bad mouse, tempting his little brother with our Nancy Reagan tribute song, Just Say Yes. A link will be in the show notes to that. Richard got his big break as a writer on the Not the 9 o'clock News, an irreverent take on current affairs that featured anchors broadcasting from the... Okay, I'm cracking up now. That featured anchors broadcasting from the bed and the unique talents of Rowan Atkinson, Griff Rhys-Jones, Mel Smith, and Pamela Stevenson. One of Richard's biggest claims to fame is as the author of Atkinson's famous schoolmaster sketch, The Secret Policeman's Ball, in which the future Mr. Bean puts a hilarious spin on attendance taking and discipline. Well, Richard, it's splendid to meet you. You've had a recent revelation, I've heard, into computer gaming, which eventually led to a novel. Can you share with us about that discovery?
Yes, well, it's very nice to be here, Lance. Thank you for inviting me. I got into gaming 10, 15 years ago. I think really I started when I was doing online poker in the days when it used to be allowed. And I actually wrote a couple of books about the poker boom. And then one game led to another, the way it does. You know, it's a gateway drug, isn't it? And I've actually come out the other side. A lot of parents are worried about their children disappearing and just playing computer games for the rest of their lives, which would be a waste. But I got everything I could out of it. I absolutely loved those games. PvP, where you've got a gang of 20-odd of you charging around, you know, getting up to mischief with people in your headphones being silly, and you're having combat with other real people scattered all over the world. Or else player versus an environment, which is just you taking on these incredible games, which are set in really extraordinary worlds, outer space worlds, or my particular favorites were the sword and sorcery worlds. And the revelation that came to me that inspired my book, I'm very happy to give all the credit to it from my experience playing these games, was I just was wondering, well, what would it really be like to be this heroic battle mage, this young avatar with his magic staff that I've created for myself? And of course, you'd be completely hopeless, you know. You know, it's very well, it's okay mashing a keyboard and charging around and getting good at a game and then, you know, leveling up. But if you actually found yourself in the middle of nowhere, armed with crappy noob level beginner equipment and wolves are chasing you, you know, of course, things would go terribly wrong. And they do for our hero. He can't find his teammates. And they come out of winning the world championship of sword and sorcery in our world. And the next thing he knows, he's somewhere else. He's not in the game. It's not going into a game. That old trope has been done. There's a reason for it all, which is explained at the end, and it's which sets up the sequels, of which I've already written three. I'm on the fifth book in the series at the moment.
Wow.
and the second book is published in November. So, but it was just a great creative burst. And one of the PR people in England said, you can't go on interviews and tell people you're not playing games anymore. We're pitching you as an older gamer. And, you know, because there are a lot of us about, you know, people who are retired. We've got time on our hands. If you've got the appetite for adventure, but you don't have the knees for it anymore, you can charge around all over the place in the comfort of your own home.
Yeah.
But if you actually find yourself young again, which would be great, in a new world, you'd be useless. And he's all alone. He's got to see if he can find his two teammates, one of whom is an Australian orc, and the other is an Asian American girl. She's a twin-bladed sword dancer, and he's the battle mage, so he heals as well as dealing damage. And they're nowhere to be seen. Are they even there? What's going on? So the quest gradually unfolds and reveals itself as the world, which is sort of similar to a medieval type fantasy world, but my own spin on it. So my orcs are great. They're really sort of the earth types. I mean, they're always up for a scrap, but they're always up for a feast and a couple of beers as well.
Oh, typical. That's orc stuff. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, we even get ogres in book three who turn out to be a lot of fun too. So it's great. It's just suddenly got unleashed into it. You know, I've always wanted to write fiction. I've, you know, been a writer for 40 years, know how to write, but I've never known what to write. And finally, this was it. Of course, I've always loved fantasy. I've always loved escapism and stories. And it sort of gels. You know, when I sent it to my agent, she said, this is just what people are looking for, a chance to get away from all the grim realities of our lives and go off on an adventure. So it's just been an absolute joy. And I really would like to credit the designers and the writers of these amazing games that are out there for us to play.
Nice, nice. And you were talking about how that people get into gaming, maybe some of the youth get into gaming and they maybe not come out well on the other side. Do you have any like anecdotes about that or whether they did or didn't?
Not really about other people. I've done some gaming with other people in little teams and stuff. And they're just total enthusiasts. And there's great, there's a lot to be said for enthusiasm. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. And if you're really into it, I mean, think of the difference between a game and a movie. In a movie, you're watching some actor representing you. In a game, you create your own avatar. You're the hero of your own story. You can go wherever you like. You've got the whole world to explore. You don't have to go into combat. You can wander around and build a castle or an underground vampire's lair or make friends and go to taverns and pick up quests if you want. Or have your own spaceship, and as certain games like Mass Effect 2 and 3 were brilliant. Slightly went off the boil in Game 4, but endings are hard. we see this all the time with people who haven't figured out the ending before they create the story.
Yeah. There's one anecdote I'd like to share. Is there was a coffee shop I used to go to regularly when I lived in Seattle, and the barista, it was at a Tully's, which is dating me because Tully's I don't think exists anymore, but the barista there told me finally one day, he said, you know what, he says, this is my last week at work. And I said, wow. I said, what's going on? And he said, you know, my mom said I shouldn't play video games all the time because it would totally, like, you know, it isn't a useful job skill. And he said, guess what I got a job doing? I said, no. I said, yes. He says, I'm working for the Navy and I'll be flying drones. I'll be doing the usual, you know, joystick and thing. And I'll be traveling around the world inside of a ship flying drones.
That idea has been used in fiction. Ernest Cline, who wrote a brilliant book, Ready Player One, he followed up with a book that was not, well, it was just perfectly straight, perfectly good, all right, called Armada. And the premise was that people who played a computer game were actually, without knowing it, being trained to be good at operating because there was a problem. So that all the top gamers in the world got swept up to solve the problem out there. So, yes, they're using, gamers are doing drone warfare in Ukraine.
Yes.
It is a skill that's out there, and I wouldn't, you know, want to spend my entire life indoors glued to a computer screen myself.
Right.
But it's certainly worth exploring. And, you know, when I started, I thought everyone was young until I got there was a message in group chat came up one day from our guild master. She typed in she was leaving the guild and did anyone want to take over because she was turning 85 this week. And I thought, whoa, That's so you realize that people have, once you start hearing them in your headphones, that all over the world, all ages, all accents, all types, it's very, very inclusive, because you represent yourself how you want to be. If you want to be a female orc, right, well, that's how people treat you. You want to be sort of an elf or a unicorn or whatever. It depends on what the game is. You can do all sorts of different characters. And that avatar, people call them my main. My main is a so-and-so. Battle mage or whatever, then that's how people treat you. And nobody pries. Nobody reveals anything about themselves in real life, IRL, if they don't want to. So it's a community, and that's great. I'm all for inclusiveness.
Yeah, yeah. And it allows you to be creative beyond ways you wouldn't normally be in real life.
And also not to limit your perceptions of other people by how they look.
Right.
So if someone looks like a, you know, gigantic orc with a battle axe, you don't immediately have a sort of summary prejudice of, you might if, you know, someone from a different culture, say.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. I'm talking to you with the headphones on, who are listening to Sci-Fi Thoughts. You've been listening to the show for a while. You must be enjoying it because you keep coming back. Well, hey, help me out. Tell your friends, your family, other people who would like to listen to Sci-Fi Thoughts. Give me a hand. Help me grow the show. So go ahead and right now, just send a text message, write an email, turn around and talk to the person next to you and tell them about Sci-Fi Thoughts. They can find us via Google, or they could type in scifithoughts.space. Check out the show notes, because we've got some good things in there, like links to Richard Sparks' website and his books and any other interviews that we came across, so you can really get to know the man behind New Rock and New Roll. Next episode, more Richard Sparks. And I hear you know and were friends with Douglas Adams.
Yeah, Douglas and I were exact contemporaries. He was at Cambridge University and I was at Oxford. So we met in the summer at Edinburgh Festivals doing our respective comedy shows.